Good morning, church, and to all who are watching online on this very special Sunday morning as we celebrate and worship our risen Lord. So happy to see so many of you. But again, I think there may be more people coming. So if you have some empty seats beside you, can I ask that you move inwards, yeah, so that we can free up the space on the outside. And if there are more people coming or there are some who are standing outside, they can also join us in the sanctuary. So just trouble you. If you have some space beside you, can you just move in so that we can free up some space for people who are perhaps outside or at the Armstead Hall? It's really a joy to worship together. And of course, for those who are joining us online as well, especially this morning, really want to thank God for the time of worship that we can sing to the Lord with so much joy and energy. And of course, with the dance ministry team as well, it's so good. And I said at the earlier service, I wish the worship could be longer. Yeah. And then, yeah. And it was so good for us to come and celebrate together this Easter Sunday. So before I go on further, I just want to read to us our Easter scripture text taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. So the Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of John 20, beginning with verse 1. It will not be on the screen, so please, if you can, turn to your Bible. If not, you just listen to the word of the Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. You know, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to talk about the significance of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives. And so I titled my sermon, "Resurrection Matters." It matters to you. It matters to me. It matters, in fact, to everyone in the world. Some of you may find it easier to relate to the cross than the resurrection in our daily experiences. And today, if you are invited by your friend to join us for the service, you are probably more familiar about the cross than the empty tomb. But the significance of Jesus' resurrection, though it may not be so obvious to you, but it matters. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." This is also a text that Pastor Lee highlighted to us in our reflection this morning during the sunrise service. If Christ has not been raised, my preaching this morning is in vain, and our faith is in vain. So let me share with you a few things why the resurrection of Jesus matters to all of us. First, the resurrection of Jesus proves that Jesus is the Son of God. When Jesus lived on earth many, many years ago, he claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal to God, and that he will be killed and raised on the third day. So if he were not raised from the dead, then it will prove that he is just a liar or a lunatic. I think for those of us who have gone through Alpha, this will be very familiar to you. But if Jesus were raised from the dead, it would validate who he said he was. And true enough, death could not hold Jesus in the tomb. We sang it earlier. Death could not hold him. He was raised on the third day because Jesus was no ordinary man. And that is why the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, writes, "And Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead." So how do we know that Jesus is truly the Son of God, as he claimed to be so? The resurrection proves that he is indeed the Son of God. Or you may ask, okay, Jesus is the Son of God, so but what does it have to do with me? You see, Jesus is the Son of God who will judge the world. When the Apostle Paul went to Athens during his missionary trip, he noticed the people of Athens were very religious and rooted in philosophical thinking, but they did not know or worship the one true God. So they were very religious. They really want to believe in some form of a God or something, and they have all this philosophical thinking, but they did not know the one true God. So Paul, on one occasion, said to them, as recorded in Acts 17, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." So if you are first time looking at this verse, it is very obvious to know who is this man referring to. It's none other than our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. But look carefully at what Paul said, even before he spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. Paul writes, God commands all people to repent, because the day will come when the resurrected Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. It is stated very plainly in the text. God commands all people to repent, because there will be a day of judgment. We tend to think of God's judgment as something very, very bad. But judgment is actually good news for those who are suffering and experiencing injustice in this world. Just put yourself in their shoes. They were unfairly treated. They were oppressed. They were not given the things that they should be given as normal human beings. But they look forward to the day when God will right all wrongs and make all things new. God will right all wrongs and make all things new. And that is why God said to us, leave the vengeance to Him. He is the God of justice and mercy. But for many of us who are living in comfort, we probably don't think much about judgment. But let us not forget that all of us will be held accountable to God for what we think or what we say and what we do. And you want to guess how many of us will pass with flying colors on the day of judgment? I will not ask us to raise our hand, but in case you're about to raise your hand, let me remind you of Romans 3:23. And Paul reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, you know, you don't need to be a Christian or a believer in Christ to acknowledge this truth. All of us know that everyone in the world is not perfect. There are many, many good people in the world, and we know some of them. But the truth is, none of us is without sin. None of us is perfect. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And none of us, or none of our excuses will work when we stand before the judge. And that's why Jesus, remember, He is the judge. He came into our world. And who knows that we are not able to pay the debts of our sins. And so He came and died on the cross to atone for our sins. What it means to atone for our sins? It is to pay the price or penalty of our sins. But the question is this. Can it be true that the death of this one person is acceptable to God on behalf of everyone in the world? And perhaps this is a question that you may have as you are trying to understand more about the Christian faith. Can it be true that the death of this one person is acceptable to God on behalf of every person in the world? If Jesus were like any other man, just like you and me, He would be dying for His own sins rather than the sins of others. But just as the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God, the empty tomb also assures us that God has accepted the atonement of Jesus for our sins. Let me repeat, the empty tomb is the assurance that God has accepted the atonement of Jesus for our sins. I know this sounds very theological on a Sunday morning, but it's really important for us to know this. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus assures us of our justification, another big word, which means of our right standing before God, as stated by Paul in Romans 4:25. So let me read to you. Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Again, if this word is foreign to you, it basically means that we are declared righteous before God. Can you imagine us coming before God and knowing that we are all sinners, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we are clothed with His righteousness. So when God sees us, He sees Jesus. And that is what it means for us to be justified before God. But to be clear, the resurrection of Jesus does not accomplish our justification. It is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that accomplished that. But the empty tomb assures us that the payment for our sins was done and accepted. It assures us that when we stand before the judge, we will all be declared righteous. There is nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves right before God. I hope you agree on that point. There is nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves right before God. But Jesus took our place. The judge let himself be judged in our place. He who had no sin took our sins so that we can be made right with God. And what is required of us is simply faith and repentance. The reason we can come together like this to worship God, to just approach the presence of God, is because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and that he was raised on the third day, assuring us that we are all justified before the Lord. Amen? So I mentioned two things, so just a quick recap. Why resurrection matters? It matters because it proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Second, which is related to the first one, the resurrection of Jesus assures us that we are declared righteous before God. So you don't have to doubt whether today when you stand before God, like, do you pass the test? The answer is very clear to you. When you put your faith in Jesus, the answer is a big yes. There is no yes but, it's just yes. You are righteous before the Lord. Amen? So third, the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope when all hope seems lost. Now let me read to you parts of the Easter Meditation by S.M. Lockridge. He is a well-known preacher, an African-American preacher. And so he will say this in a certain very dynamic way, which I cannot do. I will just do in my own Siu Chai's way. And it's titled, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying, can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Amen? Amen. I really like this phrase. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. But you see, on the very first Easter morning, for the disciples, it was not that obvious that it's Friday, but Sunday has arrived. Sunday in the sense that our Lord Jesus is alive. It is not clear to them. You see, the disciples, they didn't expect an empty tomb on the very first Easter Sunday. They didn't. It's not that they were not told of it or it was not in the scriptures. No. Again, we look at John 20, verse 9. The disciples had been told of Jesus' resurrection, but they didn't get it. Let me read to you from John 20, verse 9. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. There's a preacher, a very good preacher by the name of Andy Stanley. I think in one of his Easter sermons, he said this. Nobody expected nobody. I think when I first shared it with my kids, they took a while to register. Yeah. But I really like this. Nobody expected nobody. You see, it is easy for us at this point of history to say it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. But it is not so easy for the first disciples to recognize that. And some of us here, and maybe some of you watching online, may be going through something like what the disciples experienced on Good Friday. Your hope for a better tomorrow is gone. Your world is turned upside down. And you know that your life is in a mess. And it's hard to believe that Sunday is coming. The hope of the first disciples died with the death of Jesus. Mary Magdalene did not expect Jesus to be raised from the dead. Seeing the empty tomb did not bring comfort to her, but only more questions and confusion. Where is Jesus' body? What has happened to him? Who took his body? These are probably the questions that went through her mind. And as she looked back inside the tomb, desperately looking for some answers to her many questions, Jesus appeared to her. John 20, verse 17. And Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. You see, at first, Mary and the other disciples, they did not believe in the resurrection until Jesus appeared to them. But if we are honest with ourselves, or we kind of think of putting ourselves in their shoes, it can be hard to believe in the resurrection if we were present at the very first Good Friday. You know, when all hope seems lost, it can be very hard to believe in miracles. I believe some of us here probably understand deeply what I just said. When we are going through a very hard time, and perhaps going through it for a long time, even in your mind, you know that miracle can happen, but it is hard to believe in one. To borrow the lyrics from the song "Trip a Little Like Fantastic," and if you are deep inside a tunnel, when there is no end in sight, well, just carry on until the dawn is darkest right before the light. I definitely can't sing this. Yeah, I don't want to spoil the song for you. But I think it expresses very well that, you know, when we are in the darkest moments, it can feel that we are stuck in an endless tunnel with no light in sight. It is a very scary place to be in, where you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. But the resurrection of Jesus tells us that there is always hope, even in the most challenging circumstances. It may be night for you, but dawn is coming. It may be Friday for you, but remember, Sunday's coming. Yes, there will be times when we struggle to believe that Sunday is coming. But Jesus is calling us to come to Him just as we are, with our fear, our frustration, our disappointments and doubts. Because Jesus is our hope when there is no hope. There's a song that says, hope has a name. And the name is Jesus. So no matter what we are going through, know this. Jesus is hope when there seems to be no hope. And so again, just to do a very quick recap, why resurrection matters. First, the resurrection of Christ proves that Jesus is the Son of God. And second, it assures us of our justification, that we are declared righteous before the Lord. Third, the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope when all hope is lost. And finally, the last one that I want to share with us this morning, the resurrection of Jesus brings new life and new power. Let me read to you from Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Or in another translation, that we may live a new life. And so this is really important for us to take note. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we can live a new life. Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So again, just as Jesus was raised to life, those who believe in Him will live a new life. And it's not just any other life. It is a life that is deeply connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a life that is disconnected from the power of sin and death. Again, we sang it earlier. It is a life that is united with God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us so that we can live a new life. Amen? Let me read to you an Easter miracle story shared by the Reverend Harry Pritchett Jr., which was originally published in the Lutheran magazine many, many years ago. I had a young friend named Philip. And Philip was born with Down syndrome. He was a pleasant child, happy it seems, but increasingly aware of the difference between himself and the other children. Philip went to Sunday school faithfully every week. He was in the third grade class with 9 other 8-year-old children. And you know 8-year-old children. And Philip, with his differences, was not readily accepted. But his teacher was sensitive to Philip. And he helped this group of 8-year-old children to love each other as best as they could under the circumstances. They learned, they laughed, they played together. And they really cared about one another, even though 8-year-old children don't say they care about one another out loud. But don't forget, there was an exception to all this. Philip was not really a part of the group. Philip did not choose, nor did he want to be different. He just was. And that was the way things were. His teacher had a marvelous idea for his class the Sunday after Easter. The teacher collected 10 containers. All of them have the shape of an egg. The children loved it when he brought them into the room and gave one to each child. It was a beautiful spring day, and the assignment was for each child to go outside, find the symbol for new life, put it into the egg, and bring it back to the classroom. As it was the Sunday after Easter, this is a very good activity for the children to participate in what Easter is all about. So they will then open and share their new life symbols and surprises one by one. It was glorious, it was confusing, it was wow. For those of you involved in children ministry, you know what it's all about. They ran all around the church grounds, gathering their symbols and returned to the classroom. They put all the eggs on the table and then the teacher began to open them. All the children gathered around the table. He opened one and there was a flower and they woo and ah. He opened another and there was a little butterfly. Beautiful, the girls all said, since it is hard for 8-year-old children or 8-year-old boys to say beautiful. He opened another and there was a rock. And as third graders will, some laughed and some said, that is crazy. How's a rock supposed to be like new life? But the smart little boy who put in the rock spoke up. That's mine. And I knew all of you would get flowers and buds and leaves and butterflies and stuff like that. So I got a rock because I wanted to be different. And for me, that's new life. And they all laughed. The teacher said something about the wisdom of 8-year-old children and opened the next one. There was nothing inside. The children said, that's not fair. That's really silly. Somebody didn't do it right. Then the teacher felt a tug on his shirt and he looked down. It's mine, Philip said. It's mine. And the children said, you don't ever do things right, Philip. There's nothing there. I did. So do it right, Philip said. I did do it right. The tomb is empty. And there was silence. A very full silence. And for people who don't believe in miracles, the pastor said, I want to tell you that one happened that day. From that time on, it was different. Philip suddenly became a part of their group of 8-year-old children. They took him in. He was set free from the tomb of his differentness. Philip died last summer. His family had known since the time he was born that he wouldn't live out a full life, a full lifespan. Many other things were wrong with his little body. And so, late last July, with an infection that most normal children would have quickly recovered, Philip died. At his memorial service, 9 8-year-old children marched up to the altar, not with flowers, as usually we do, but 9 8-year-old children, along with the Sunday school teacher, marched right up to the altar and laid on it an empty egg. The little boy, Philip, when asked to find a symbol for new life, he chose to leave the egg empty because he knew that the empty tomb signifies a new life. And because of the empty egg, a new life started for Philip and his Sunday school friends. Philip became a part of the group of 8-year-old children. They welcomed him, and he was set free from the tomb of his differentness. Our friends, likewise, because of the empty tomb, a new life began for you. It began for me when we put our faith in Jesus. We become part of the family of God. And Jesus welcomes us into the family. And we are set free from the tomb of sin and death. if we are honest with ourselves and we look at our lives, we know that our lives can be rather messy without God. And we try to make our lives better with better education, better jobs, or perhaps better financial planning or better technology. But we can't run away from the fact that we are all broken people living in a broken world. Jesus came so that we can have life to the full, so that we are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to fear, and slaves to the things of this world, because we have the presence and power of God in us, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. I like how the Scottish theologian P.T. Forsyth puts it. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is about us. Let me read that to you again. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is about us. Friends, we need the resurrection power of God to live the lives that God wants for all of us. Otherwise, we will continue to feel defeated in our struggle against the darkness in our lives and in this world. God desires for all of us to draw near to Him, to know that we are forgiven, to know that we can come just as we are to Him. But more than that, God also wants us to know that we can have hope in Him and experience that new life and new power that allows us to live lives in a way that we can never even imagine lives on earth can be so much like lives in heaven. So let me close by reading to you the prayer of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. You see, the Apostle Paul knows very, very well the importance of knowing Jesus and His resurrection power. And this prayer is a reflection of that conviction. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 17, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. I think this really sums up everything that I just said about why resurrection matters. Can I invite all of us to stand as I ask the worship team to come up? I want to pray for us. On this Resurrection Sunday, as we gather to celebrate and to rejoice in the Lord, I really have the sense that God is saying to us that this joy is not just for today. This joy is not just when, you know, we have such a nice atmosphere. And this joy is even beyond our circumstances. We can rejoice in the Lord always. We can have hope even when there is no hope. And we can experience the new life and new power in Christ all the days of our lives. So no matter where you are or what you're going through right now, I pray that as we continue in this time of worship, let us draw near to our risen Savior. Let us come and allow God to fill us afresh with His resurrection power. Heavenly Father, indeed we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this amazing miracle that Christ was raised on the third day. And because of that, everything changes for us. We can have hope, we can have joy, and we can know that, Lord, there is so much more to life than what the world offers us. And so no matter, perhaps, what has happened in our lives that we really regretted, I believe God is saying to us today, our sins are washed by the blood of Jesus. You can come to God just as you are. You don't need to be perfect to come to Him. And God is saying to us that you can trust in Jesus no matter what you're going through. Yes, it may seem like Friday to you, but Sunday is coming. And know that Christ desires for you to experience that new life and new power in Him. A life that no money in this world can offer us. Only Jesus can. And He's inviting us to come to Him that we may have this life and this new power. So Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, you know where we are. You know our hearts. And I pray for all of us that you will awaken us to you, to your love, to your power. So that, Lord, our hearts will be captivated by you and you alone. And that truly we can say, in Christ alone is our source of hope and strength. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.